Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are honored to be joined by the third Viscount, Monckton and Brenchley, Lord Christopher Monckton, journalist, scientist, researcher. If you have to pick one man who is the nemesis or the polar opposite, whereas Al Gore symbolizes fraud, lack of integrity, man-bear-pig, selling NAFTA and GATT, selling globalism, selling deindustrialization. He is a swindler. He is a carnival barker who sells every projection and con game and fraud under the sun. You have Lord Monckton on the other side. Integrity, focus, documented. Because I've done a lot of research on global warming and anthropogenic global warming and the neo-feudalist move and how this system will cause untold hundreds of millions to starve. Monckton has the incredible research news site where he documents it all. And we'll go over that with him today. We'll talk about the new Australian Prime Minister. One is thrown out for his global carbon tax. That's the main thing that Australians cited. Then, like shark teeth, another scallywag rolls forward, saying that's our number one agenda, neo-feudalism. We'll talk about Gore and what he's up to. And we'll talk about how the UN's trying to reorganize their global tax. It's all coming up. Lord Monckton, good to have you here with us.
It's a real pleasure to be back with you, and God bless America.
Absolutely. God bless England and everybody who's fighting for liberty against the EU takeover. Lord Monckton, out of the gates, what's most important in your mind?
I think the thing that broke today is the news that Kevin Rudd, the Prime Minister of Australia, who was swept to office on the one central pledge that he was going to introduce cap and trade or cap and tax, has failed to do so, and the left of his party has staged a coup against him and dislodged him as Prime Minister, appointing somebody in his stead who will still not be able to get cap and tax through, but he has failed because he was overambitious, and he's now the second Australian politician to have lost office because of his belief, naive as it is, in the global warming scare. The first one, of course, was Malcolm Turnbull, the former leader of the opposition to Kevin Rudd, who was turfed out by his own party because he had wanted to go along with Rudd's emissions trading scheme. So he got the boot. Tony Abbott took over from him, and that was several months ago. And now Rudd himself has got the boot once again because of his naive enthusiasm for what is now the collapsed scientific notion that the world is doomed because we've added a tiny fraction of extra CO2 to the atmosphere.
Well, Lord Monckton, you force them to now admit that we haven't been heating in 15 years. We've been cooling for a decade. They've been caught in premeditated fraud. I don't really think these people are naive. The leadership knows this is just a giant new taxing scheme and a way for government to, quote, end our industrialized society and deliver humanity into the hands of this despotic elite as feudal serfs.
I think it's quite worth remembering how it is that they concealed for as long as they did the fact that since the turn of the millennium on the 1st of January 2001, the trend of global temperatures has been a downtrend. Not a very significant downtrend, but it certainly hasn't been an uptrend. And as you rightly pointed out a moment ago, for about 15 years, there's now been barely significant global warming. How did these facts eventually come to light? Well, the BBC got in touch with me after the Climategate scandal broke, and they said, what questions would I put if I were interviewing Dr. Jones, who ran this unit whose emails leaked all over the world? And he's the one that compiles one of these global temperature data sets that tells us whether temperature is going up or down worldwide. And so the BBC took my questions and put them to Professor Jones, and one of those questions was, have we or have we not had a global cooling trend since the turn of the millennium?
Lord Monckton, gotta interrupt you. We'll come back and get to the punchline on this straight ahead.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites, and a converter for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, or watch you online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, he is a tireless voice exposing the fact that anthropogenic or man-made global warming is a manifest fraud. And we're getting an important update. He joins us every month or two, and we really appreciate his time. Lord Christopher Monckton, 3rd Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley, of course, one of the chief advisors to Margaret Thatcher, a journalist, a scientist, inventor, and he is with us for the balance of the hour. We have routed for now the carbon taxers in the court of public opinion, but they're still implementing through states, counties, cities, regions, their carbon tax. So we're going to talk about how they've regrouped, how they're deceptively counterstriking, how they're changing their nomenclature with new lies for old. They've also got some organized counterstrikes on Moncton with straw men, manufactured attacks. So we're going to let him defend himself on that front. But out of the gates, you probably don't want to talk about this because you're a gentleman, but it is in Fox News, it is in the Associated Press, the Oregonian, that reportedly Al Gore, whose wife is now leaving him, was with this masseuse, and there are crazies who make stuff up, but we have no evidence of that, and it sounds like him. I mean, he just looks like a pervert. I'm sorry. I mean, if I saw him in a dark alley,
You wouldn't expect me to go there, because I try to confine myself to the science and economics of this question. What we can say is that Al Gore, whether he lied to his wife or not, I haven't the faintest idea, nor am I interested. What he has done is lie over and over again to the American people and the people of the world for great personal profit about the global warming scare.
But if it does come out that he did this...
Al, baby, if you're listening to this, I've now been trying to get you to debate with me on international television on global warming for nearly 4 years. Every broadcast I do, I make the same challenge: step up to the plate or go away into your collapsing armchair forever. Leave the field free for us real men. And so far, Al, baby, you haven't shown the courage of your convictions. And the only conviction you're eventually going to get is a criminal conviction for racketeering under the federal RICO statute.
Absolutely, because there's clear evidence of that. This could be completely made up that he groped this woman, though I tend to believe it just at a gut level, regardless.
Well, I'm not going there. I mean, I've made that very plain to you. That's not what I do. What I do is the science and the economics, and the science and the economics say that Al Gore is wrong, he's running scared, fewer and fewer people are listening to him. He now charges a fee. The Singapore government paid him a few months ago a fee of $300,000 to make one rambling, disappointing, diffuse speech about global warming. Nobody except the Singaporean government would now pay that kind of fee to him. But he is a busted flush as far as global warming is concerned. Nobody takes him seriously on that subject anymore. And indeed, nobody now takes the official bodies on this seriously, the official scientific bodies who have seen this as a way of making enormous money in rent-seeking subsidies from taxpayers. They're all discredited now. They've all passed from being scientific bodies to mere self-serving political pressure groups. They too are now discredited. We have just this week the United Nations Climate Panel, which is an enormous and growing bureaucracy, which has just announced that this time, because of the criticism that it's been terribly one-sided in its previous reports, it's going to widen the number of scientists it gets writing its next report, but it's not actually going to widen their opinions. It's still only going to choose those who believe the line which it wishes to peddle. They're still not going to ask the real scientists who've done the real work, showing what complete nonsense the official line actually is.
Now, Lord Monckton, I want to go back to Al Gore and criminal prosecutions, and then I want to look at how they're regrouping, how they're trying to counterstrike, and get your forecast, you know, as the leading general against these eugenicists, of where you see them striking next. But going back to criminal prosecutions, where are we on Pachauri? Where are we on Jones? You got cut off on the break earlier when I...
Yes, indeed. Let's do Jones, first of all. He has been exonerated by the House of Commons. No surprises there, because our Parliament is the most true-believing of half-witted, credulous believers in this new religion of global warming. And they were not prepared to admit that they got it wrong by finding him wrong. So they of course, washed their hands of it and said he was a splendid fellow, really, which he isn't. He had destroyed data and procured the destruction of data from other scientists in a series of emails, none of which is denied, for the sake of avoiding getting anyone to check his figures and see just how much they were simply made up. So the fact that the House of Commons looked the other way is a very good indication of how the political establishment worldwide is not yet willing to admit what a colossal mistake it made. It's just like DDT all over again. However, there is, of course, the splendid Mr. Cuccinelli in Virginia, the Attorney General there, who is busy chasing after Professor Mann at the Penn State University to find out whether he, for the sake of getting grants, had in any way been improperly handling or using or processing official data. And that inquiry is still very much continuing. Pachauri was being investigated by the UK Charity Commission for having filed bogus accounts 3 years in a row in a charity in the UK of which he is the sole trustee, and it's the trustees whose job it is to file correct accounts. The Charity Commission, likewise part of the establishment, has now said, well, actually we're not going to go after him. We're not even going to ask him to produce accounts for the year in which irregularities were proved by the complainant. We're going to make him produce accounts for a year that was 2 years later than the year in which the problem arose. So clearly, the most extraordinary lengths are being gone to by the public authorities worldwide to cover up the defalcations and the criminalities of the likes of Al Gore and Pachauri. And they're not actually going to go after any of these people because these people are part of the same establishment that ought to be going after them and bringing them to book.
Well, Lord Monckton, what do we do then with this quandary or this paradox of government stands to have the biggest increase in tax funding in human history?
Yes.
A new form of total feudalism and serfdom,
yes,
is openly being established. So how can the government, that is the beneficiary robber class, the new kings and queens, you know, the new global lords of the people, how then can this group ever judge their own minions, their own operatives, if they're cutting off their own new global religion and funding mechanism?
Well, there you're asking one of the oldest questions in the history of the philosophy of government. And in Latin, it was quis custodiet ipsos custodes. Who will watch over those who are supposed to be watching over us? Who will be the policeman of the policeman? And that's one of the most difficult questions to answer. However, in a democracy, which you still have in America and we don't have here in Europe because we are now governed by unelected commissars, but you still have a Congress, and the only people who can make laws for you are your elected congressmen and senators under Article 1, Section 1 of your Constitution. Three magic words will tell you what to do with these wretches. Vote them out.
Well, that brings me to my next issue, how they're regrouping worldwide. They seem to double down in England, double down in the United States, double down in Australia. When one crook gets thrown out, the establishment, especially in the parliamentary system, tends to put an even more extreme person in. But here in the U.S., every incumbent and everyone who's seen as an establishment candidate in all the off-year elections and primaries are being defeated by giant record margins. And the people are so angry that we've never had a political realignment where it was against the entire political system since 1776, and other political scientists agree with me. The polls show it. Usually one party's in favor, another is out of favor.
Yeah.
This is a total realignment against the entire system, and the system is coming in with Obama saying, well, I'll just restrict your free speech. I'll just put in Chinese-style net censorship. I'll put black boxes in your house. We'll make it illegal, as Cass Sunstein has said at the White House, to say, I don't believe in anthropogenic global warming. I mean, they are, instead of backing off, they're throwing the gauntlet down and saying, I am tyrannous. I'm coming after you.
That's right. However, the Republicans are beginning to respond to this. They've begun to realize that the Tea Party movement is directed as much at them as it is at the Democrats, telling both parties to raise their game. The Democrats are resorting to insult and, as you say, to police state measures, taking away your Fifth Amendment, not your Fifth Amendment right, the First Amendment right to free speech, by saying that you won't in future be allowed to say that global warming isn't a problem. That kind of thing is intolerable in a free society. And there is absolutely no way Obama is going to get away with that, because the Republicans are beginning at last to wake up. I've spent a lot of time in Congress over the last year, talking to members of both houses, testifying in front of committees of Congress, and one of the things that's become quite apparent is that the Republicans, who were at first, a year ago, saying, well, we're very happy to argue this on the economics because it makes no sense to do anything about this, even if the problem's as big as the UN says it is. We can all see that, but we don't think we dare get into the science. Now, I said to them very bluntly, I said, look, if you don't get into the science, the other side will simply say, ah, but the planet is at risk, and therefore, whatever the economic cost, whatever the economic damage, we have to save the planet, and therefore you have to deal with the science. Otherwise, however sensible your economic argument, the other side will pay.
The science is the key, because it takes the moral high ground away from them and shows them to be premeditated fraudsters.
And that is the point which the Republicans have now got very, very firmly on board. There are now many senior figures in both houses. I'm not going going to name names. It's not fair to them. They will go public as and when they think it right, who are very clearly understanding that the science doesn't add up anymore, that they have failed and failed and failed again on the other side to produce convincing argument. And they are now not going to tolerate any form of cap and trade. And they've made that quite plain to the Democrats, which is
all right, Lord Monckton, stay there. Stay there. We got to go to break. Come back and tell us more of what the insiders told you and how you see the eugenicists, the feudalists, the feudal lords striking back at us on the other side.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land. They think they're on our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and support independent, patriotic Liberty Films.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put off tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Lord Christopher Monckton, 3rd Viscount of Rensley and Monckton, is our guest. Scienceandpublicpolicy.org is the key website to see the actual science, the research, on what these globalists are up to. Now, this is a short segment. Coming back, we're going to get Lord Monckton's take on BP and Obama publicly blocking the relief efforts. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. We're going to get into some counterattacks against him, which are actually opportunities for us to show the fraud. But finishing up with your travel around the country, the Tea Parties, talking to Congress, legislatures, you're saying you're seeing a real shift.
A real shift in opinion on the Republican side. Of course, the Tea Party movement doesn't believe in the global warming nonsense. And now the Republicans are beginning to realize that they have to tackle the science. They can't ignore it. They have to take the moral high ground away from these creeps. And they're beginning to do it. They're beginning to get into the science. They're beginning to ask questions of the administration that the administration either can't answer or is answering in a way which we can easily prove to be dishonest. And that has begun to make them realize that this is a gigantic global fraud, and they don't like the smell of it, and they're not going to pass cap and trade, even if the oil spill goes on being terrible and makes a mess of the coastline there. They're not going to give in just because of that. That is not a good excuse for rushing for cap and trade. So they're going to stand very firm on this, and there will be no nonsense. And if Obama tries to reintroduce cap and trade in the Senate, he will fail again.
But he's doing the same thing now. It's been confirmed. The White House is not retracting it. Just like 2 weeks before the White House admitted it, they said, we're going to sue Arizona. And then later the White House admitted that. Now he's saying he's going to sign an executive order to just open up the borders completely, which literally is an act of treason against our sovereignty. And he's now promised to have the EPA implement a whole group of carbon taxes by dictatorial executive edict.
I know. The more he does this, and the more the people who listen to your show and the others who point out what's going on hear this and talk to one another about it, the more certain it is that in the midterm elections he will perhaps more or less certainly lose the House. And the way he's going, he could even lose the Senate as well, though that'll be harder, I think. But he's certainly no longer going to have control of Congress. And therefore, he is increasingly being driven back on the realization that his days of passing grand legislative projects like health care reform are over. Cap and trade is not going to go through the Senate. And that therefore he will have to increasingly try to rule by decree, because that's what an executive order is. However, executive orders are not legislation. They can be reversed by the next incoming president overnight. And all the Republicans have to do is to say that whoever they choose as president, every single one of these executive, high-handed executive orders will simply be cancelled by a single executive order nullifying the lot. And that will be the end of that. So the fact that he can't now control Congress means that he's becoming increasingly desperate. And the more desperate he becomes, the more he will lash out, because he is very petulant. I mean, he's behaved. If you look at the way he dismissed General McChrystal, who's a very good general, and put in General Petraeus, who is a formidable general, so at least we've now got another very good general on the spot. But that kind of behavior is calculated to demoralize your troops on the ground. Okay, so the general made some incautious remarks which weren't very polite about the administration. Just get used to it, Obama. You're in politics. Sometimes even your own troops are going to say things that maybe they shouldn't say. But if you go around sacking them just because they exercise their right of free speech and you're the commander-in-chief, well, yes, you have the constitutional power to do that, but the electorate has the constitutional power to do it to you. So Obama, because of that action against the military, because of these threats of making executive orders, because of your utter failure to deal with the BP oil spill in an efficient way, you, sir, are going to be dismissed by your commander-in-chief, which is the voters of the United States of America.
We're going to get into BP after the break, but briefly, how is the UN regrouping? We know they're trying to get cap and trade in at an even regional level, having the bureaucracy come in one case, get the city of Austin to more than triple power prices in the next 3 years to pay some nebulous organization. When we come back, but go ahead and get started now, how are they internationally regrouping right now?
Oh, that's a very interesting one. Yes, we'll certainly deal with that when we come back.
and then specifically how we counter them with Lord Monckton. In the 30 seconds we've got left, tell folks some of the material that we'll learn at your website.
Right. Yeah, the most important things we do are a series of scientific papers, which come out at regular intervals, going all written in plain language so that a layman can understand it, explaining why, on various aspects, the science of climate change is not a problem.
And it's scienceandpublicpolicy.org. It's important to learn the science, and then you'll understand the type of frauds that we're talking about. Lord Christopher Monckton's our guest. I'm Alex Jones. Infowars.com is our website. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
For decades, physician and veterinarian Dr. Joel Wallach has been lecturing on how the mainstream medical system has failed us. The model of using drugs and surgeries isn't allowing Americans to live long and healthy lives, but there are alternatives to this broken model. Now, here's Dr. Joel Wallach with his Deadly Recipes lecture for your good health and longevity.
Our goal, of course, is to have everybody die after 120. I don't care if it's 150 or 200, whatever it is. We have the capacity, we have the knowledge to get you well beyond 100. Everybody, when they die past 120, should only have two pieces of paper in your health chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. If you have a 4-inch thick health chart full of all these surgeries and all these diseases, your doctor has failed you. The system has failed you. We want people, when they think of health, well, I'm not going to run to the doctor. I can do this myself. Just like when you're going to lay tile in your house. Does everybody call a contractor now? No, they say, I'm going to run to Home Depot and price some tile there.
Hey, it's MZ. That's the beginning of an inspiring and masterful health lecture by Dr. Joel Wallach. Like Alex Jones, Doc has been subject to ridicule by mainstream forces just for telling the truth. Everyone needs to hear the Deadly Recipes lecture. Listen to it in full at deadlyrecipes.com, and please help us spread the message of the real and simple way to fix health care in America. Remember, deadlyrecipes.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
ScienceandPublicPolicy.org. That's Lord Monckton's powerful website. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are our websites. We're here live Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can also listen to the podcast for free and the iPhone app at Infowars.com. Just download those whenever you'd like and listen how you want, where you want, when you want. Lord Monckton, I want to move quickly now through some of the points that we foreshadowed. But first off, I just want to commend you here on air, because you are a testament of somebody for close to two decades who tirelessly recognized a threat before others, stood up against them, and went only on the facts, and have, not single-handedly, but if you have to give the credit to one person, devastated this true threat to human civilization, exploration, society. And so from my family to yours, I commend you. So can you briefly speak about the satisfaction you must have for others out there so they can realize the satisfaction they can have by taking action against evil? I mean, it's got to be satisfying to go from a voice in the wilderness to seeing this massive turning of the tide, A, and then B, our work isn't done, though. How satisfying would it be to see the people promoting world government, and now they have to admit that they are trying to set this up, to see them fully routed and fully defeated? Please speak to that.
Yes, certainly. First of all, you're very kind, perhaps too kind. I'm one of the Johnny-come-latelys in this. I've only been really active in the last 3 or 4 years in trying to expose this, because I came under unexpectedly savage attack 4 years ago when I first went public with a major article in a British Sunday newspaper, the Sunday Telegraph, and the international climate extremist left began a vicious series of attacks on me in newspapers, on the blogosphere, all over the place. And I thought this was very strange, because all I'd done was a quiet, quite large article. It got a certain amount of prominence. The website of the newspaper actually crashed because 127,000 people tried to access it in 2 hours after it was published. So it was very popular. But even so, this very extreme reaction, I'd never seen this before. So I looked at the points of science on which they were trying to attack me, and wherever they were trying to attack me most viciously, they were trying to beat people away from understanding the points that I was making. They were trying to confuse.
They were desperate. They wanted to set a precedent that anyone that spoke up would be torn apart. Anybody who was a professor would lose their tenure. But going back, sir, I mean, you're not kind to yourself. I've seen writings of you 20-plus years ago fighting the fake environmental movement, 20-plus years ago fighting the international communist movement. See, I see that as one contiguous system. Yes, you've been particularly vocal on the anthropogenic global warming fraud because it's come to the fore in the last 4 years. But
yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong, you've been battling this very same gaggle for decades.
Oh, certainly, yes. I mean, I've been battling against, for instance, the European dictatorship. We no longer have democracy in Europe now. I've been fighting that for 20 or 30 years. I've been fighting communism. I was one of those who played a small part in bringing the Berlin Wall down because I worked for Margaret Thatcher and I knew Ron Reagan as well. And, you know, we did that. And I was very honored to be a tiny, tiny cog in the great governmental machine of Margaret Thatcher for 4 years in number 10 Downing Street.
But it's got to be satisfying, though. I mean, it's got to be satisfying.
Well, satisfying is the wrong word. I think what is nice is how many kind people write to me out of the blue saying they've seen some vicious attack on me somewhere by the international climate extremist movement. And they say, you know, the fact that you're still here after all these attacks on you tells us you must be doing something right, and you mustn't think that these people represent how people generally think. And a lot of people are very, very kind in getting in touch. Just a short email here or there saying, you know, we are so grateful that you are standing up and speaking out because somebody's got to, and you're using your platform. Now, they're very sweet about it, and it makes a lot of difference, that, because it's actually quite hard being in the firing line all the time and having the most unspeakable things done by people who ought to know better in journalism, in academia, and elsewhere. And so I am very grateful to you and to others who do speak the occasional kind word, because it cheers me up no end.
But, again, it's not just about talking about Lord Monckton today. I'm just holding you up because you deserve it as somebody who has gone through the fire and come out better on the other side. I mean, this is a giant criminal, premeditated seizure of all of human society, and you are traveling. I mean, I'm pretty young, and I'm in good shape, and I get exhausted when I fly around a bunch of places. I mean, you have been to the four corners of the earth. I have watched your labors, and I have seen you devastate the enemy. And so I just can't help but, at a very instinctive, primitive level, someone who's fighting against people who literally want to cut the resources off to my family and who I know are a bunch of eugenics, control freak, population reducers, all I can do is say, hail Lord Monckton. We appreciate you.
Well, bless you, that's very, very kind. I mean, that is the most satisfying part about it, that wherever I go, very large crowds turn up. I mean, I did a tour of Australia earlier this year, which played, I think, a small part in bringing Kevin Rudd down, because he was so stupid. I did offer to go and see him and explain why the climate isn't in the trouble he thinks it is, but he wouldn't see me. But, I mean, huge audiences turned up everywhere, thousands at a time. And they came from out of the bush, they came from out of the towns and cities, they came from out of the mines, and they just came, and, you know, the miners in particular in Newcastle, which is the mining district just north of Sydney, they came in huge numbers. We booked a medium-sized room in the town hall. We had to jack that in and go for the main town hall building. That wasn't big enough, so we took over the gallery, and there were still people in line outside when I started talking. Wonderful crowds.
Now, we found Australia is just on fire with liberty, really waking up. Canada, the U.S., England, Europe. This is so exciting. Now, in the time we've got left, finishing up that question I asked before the break, specifically, what is their international stratagem to deceptively try to, because we know these people never give up, to try to force through this global tax?
Well, what they're going to do is to continue to address the arguments from now on, more or less exclusively, to the governing class. The people who are doing this are no longer going to try to get the support of the public. They know that we have won the argument as far as the public are concerned. The general public no longer buys global warming, period. They've had enough of it. They don't want to be bored with it anymore. You'll see it less and less often now in even the most extreme left-wing media. They're just all realizing the public are simply tired of hearing people crying wolf. So they're now addressing themselves very quietly and very furtively and very invisibly to the governing class worldwide. I've just come back from Bonn, for instance, where there was yet another conference in preparation for the Cancun climate change treaty, which will be the next step in the road towards world government, unelected world government, of course. And it was quite clear what was going on there. The UN's officials and the odd scientists murmuring into the ears of international delegates, one by one, to persuade them that this is all absolutely terrible. And of course, I was there too, murmuring into the other ear of the delegates. And interestingly, this time round, for instance, a delegate from a leading Southern African country, when I said to him, the trouble is, even if the UN's right on the science, economically, the stupidest possible way to do with this is interfering in the right of countries, particularly poor countries, to emit as much carbon dioxide by using fossil fuels as they need to lift their people out of poverty. He said, why have you chosen to speak to me? I said, I'm speaking to all sorts of delegates. You're just the next one on the list. He said, well, I've been saying exactly what you're saying. You're so right. The idea of trying to curb CO2, we all know, our own scientists tell us it makes no difference to the climate. He said, the thing that makes a difference is to adapt to any climate change that might result in whatever direction it might result, as and when we need to. He said, that's going to be so much cheaper and more efficient. And, of course, that's the correct point.
Well, look at the sun right now.
Delegates are now saying that.
Well, look at the sun. Right now, first it heated up, now it's cooling off. Now NASA says they believe from their studies, of course they can't know 100%, that it's about to go wild. What does SUVs or a family having a high calorie diet have to do with the sun?
Well, of course, nothing whatever. This is just more scare stories. It's very difficult to tell which way the sun's going to go next. We simply don't know enough about it, and to try to pretend otherwise is futile. It did go through a very quiet period for 3 years. Now it seems to be quite agitated again. But whether it stays agitated or not, or just collapses back into quietude in a few years' time, it's anybody's guess, frankly. Nobody is able to predict yet which way the sun is going to go. If you look at the forecast from the leading solar physicists, they're all over the place. They don't agree with one another. Yet again, there is no consensus, because there can't be, because our information on just about every aspect of the climate is so woefully incomplete.
It's incredible. The tireless Christopher Monckton joins us. I now want to get into BP. Off air, I asked your view on BP, and it was basically very similar to mine, and what the majority of Americans are saying when they call into talk radio, in polls. But, I mean, it's still incredible to have a video of Senator Kyle this week saying Obama told him behind closed doors he's leaving the border open, 20-plus thousand dead, just Mexico's collapsed officially,
yeah.
So that everyone is terrorized into just granting them amnesty. That's a form of terrorism, of holding us hostage, and that's what Senator Kyle said, that he admitted he's holding us hostage. Same thing on the oil. And very early on, I warned people, because I know their MO, that they were blocking the berms, blocking the barges, not taking the Dutch or the Norwegian giant tankers that can scoop it all up, if they would have been allowed to go there early. Now it's spread out. And still, it's in the news every day where they won't let people block the estuaries. They won't let them put the berms up. And Obama came out and said cap and trade is the answer. I mean, this is terrorism. They are allowing it to get worse. It is a false flag in that they are blocking any real relief.
It is very strange that the various methods that are available to bring this to an end very quickly are not being adopted, particularly the use of supertankers with the enormous pumps that they have on board. They can just go along literally vacuuming this stuff off the surface of the ocean, and you can run it, once you've taken it out with a pump, you can run it through what's called a centrifuge, which will separate out the seawater and leave you with the crude oil, which you then put straight into the tanks, and then you take it along to the refinery. It's perfectly good oil. Nothing wrong with it. Oil and water don't mix. All you've got to do is separate them by a centrifuge, and you can use the oil and put the water back in the sea. And they're not doing it. They're not doing it because I think Obama wants to do what the left so often do. They want to teach the oil industry a lesson and say, well, you've made this mess. We're not going to allow it to be cleaned up so that everybody sees what a big mess it is. Now, that may sound a little bit extreme, but look at it this way. There are methods they could have used to put an end to this a long time ago. There are methods they could certainly be using to protect the estuaries, to protect the shorelines. And yet, somehow, quite a lot of it that ought to be happening isn't happening. And you know, there are stories emerging from all the way along the coastline that the obvious measures are not being taken. Now, to some extent, this may be just members of the public thinking things can be done.
No, they're blocking them.
That is the thing. There seems to be actual obstruction. And again, one has to put the other side and say, maybe there are operational reasons. But I'll tell you this for free. I don't think that we are being let into the secret of how this is being run or why it's being run the way it is. And again, in a democracy, call me old-fashioned, but I think when something like this happens, there should be daily briefings in detail about what is being done and what is not being done and why it is or is not being done. And I don't think we're getting the frankness, not so much from BP as from Obama and his administration, as I would expect in a democracy. And part of the reason for this is that the mainstream media, of course, are all rooting for Obama, and they don't want to bring their hero down by showing how useless he is in a crisis, or, as it may be, how much he's trying to exploit the crisis. Now, I hesitate to say that is what he is trying to do. But I am unhappy at the course of events, and it certainly raises that question in one's mind.
Well, Lord Monckton, I mean, I don't know if you probably haven't seen the video, but it's got hundreds of thousands of views. Senator Kyle has also put out a statement that, yes, he was in a meeting with Obama, and Obama said, I'm not going to stop the crime. I'm not going to put troops down there. We have foreigners. They've shut down national parks 80 and 100 miles into Arizona. I mean, it is war zone bedlam. And Obama said, I like that. I want that to continue so I get amnesty. I mean, he told a senator this. And we know the chief of staff, Emanuel, says on Wall Street Journal television, don't let a good crisis go to waste. So this is their modus operandi. I mean, this is what they do.
Well, it's certainly worrying, and I would think that if President Obama actually said to the senator what the senator reports he was having said, and again, I wasn't there, so I don't know whether it was true, but I have no reason to suppose the senator isn't telling the truth, then I think there's certainly a stateable case that Obama has committed high treason and should be removed from office immediately. If he is actually saying, right, we're going to let the borders down and let everybody come pouring in, knowing that there are laws in place and people in place that are supposed to stop that happening, if he wants to change the law on immigration, he has to go to Congress to do it. He can't do that by executive order, and if he tries, he'll have to resign.
But it's even more than that. Kyle said he was in the meeting, and Obama said, we're not going to let this crisis go away. The murder, I mean, it's... I mean, Mexico is a failed state. I'm sure you've seen 22.
I mean, it's a tragedy what's been going on there. And, of course, people want to escape it, and they want to escape to their kindlier neighbor to the north. All of that one understands and indeed one sympathizes. But it is not for the president to make executive orders nullifying acts of Congress. Indeed, it's against the Constitution for him to do that.
Absolutely. We're running out of time. And one of the biggest subjects is how they're counter-striking at you, who really is the, I mean, now who has come to the fore as, you know, the leader of the anti-man-made global warming fraud. And so we're going to go to break, but you've got about 2 minutes now, then we'll come back in the final segment and have you go over this. Break down their latest manufactured assault on you, Lord Monckton.
Right. 8 months ago, I made a rather well-known speech in St. Paul, Minnesota, to a businessman's audience, to the Minnesota Free Market Institute, in which I explained my doubts about the science of climate change and the economics, and also I tacked on a four-minute segment which has been very widely viewed. I think 2.5 million people on the main website and another 2.5 million scattered over the internet have seen this peroration, where I set out the world government plans of the UN, quoting from the actual treaty draft of September the 15th last year, treaty draft for Copenhagen, which failed, I'm glad to say. But that speech has attracted so much attention that whoever it is that's behind this global warming scare seems to have decided that they wanted me to be personally discredited because of that particular speech. And so a professor at a Bible college in Minnesota called St. Thomas University, a Professor Abraham, who is not even a climate scientist, he's a professor of fluid mechanics or something, in the engineering department, decided to do an 83-minute show, slideshow, with him talking over 115 slides, which he's put out all over the internet, and all the climate extremist websites are running it, basically saying that everything I said was nonsense from start to finish, and it's very detailed, and it's very vicious. You know, he accuses me of misrepresentation, of making stuff up.
All right, Lord Monckton, when we come back, and maybe I can twist your arm, unless you have another show coming up, for 5 minutes to the next hour, so you have 10 minutes. I'm going to try to give you the floor, because you've got this big paper coming out that we'll post at InfoWars.com as soon as it's out, where you go through and just document the straw man baloney. Lord Christopher Monckton's our guest. I'm Alex Jones.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe?
Think again.
Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Here's a question.
If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance.
Scienceandpublicpolicy.org is the website. Lord Monckton, in the interest of time, go through this assault, because it's another example of understanding their tactics, and we can actually use their assaults to illustrate the deception, and it can be quite informative. So you've got the floor. Break down what happened.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, Professor Abraham from the St. Thomas Bible College in Minnesota decided that he would produce this very long, 83 minutes with 115 slides, attempt at a rebuttal of my talk in St. Thomas, in St. Paul, Minnesota, 8 months ago, which has gone viral all over the web. And he wanted to tear this down because, I don't know whether he's working with the people who are driving the scare, who try to discredit anyone who dares to suggest there might be another side to the story, or whether he did it off his own bat, I don't know. However, I wrote to him about 2 weeks ago, and I said, look, here are several hundred questions about what you've said. Questions about why you have misstated what I said, passed on those misstatements to scientists elsewhere, got them to attack the misstatements, and then printed their attacks on me as though they were attacking my words and not his words. And he's also got his own mathematics wrong. He doesn't know any of the science of climate change. And all of that, he says, you know, I'm the professor here, Monckton's a layman. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's paid by the denialist industry. He's paid by fossil fuel industries, which I'm not, but that's what he says. The whole thing is lies from start to finish. What's interesting about this one, though, is that I have provided an unusually detailed refutation, point by point, of every single one of the several hundred lies, and I mean several hundred, deliberate falsehoods that Abraham has perpetrated. This man is a liar, a cheat. I mean, he makes Al Gore look like a saint. He's utterly, utterly corrupt. This is not a man who deserves to hold any academic office whatsoever. And what he did was deliberately to divorce his talk from mine so that unless you were watching my talk at the same time as his, you wouldn't realize how clever his lies were. It took him months to put this together. And it took me a week to write him an 84-page letter with several hundred, I think it's 450 questions in it. And it's that letter, which I'm going to let you have on your website in a few days' time, I'm going to let him have one more chance, because I'm very fair to people when they do this sort of thing, to reply properly. But so far, his reply says nothing more than the following. This is my 84-page letter that I sent to him. He says, I'm replying to your letter on behalf of myself and on behalf of Father Dennis Dees, who is the president of the university, to whom I'd also written, complaining about Abraham and asking for him to be investigated. And Father Dennis Dees is washing his hands of it, just like Pontius Pilate. And the university, therefore, is not going to investigate any of this. And Abraham simply says, I stand by my original position. So let's have a look at Abraham's original position. The first thing that struck me as odd is that he didn't even tell me he was doing this in 8 months. Time and time again in his attack on me, he says, well, he doesn't even tell us what his sources are. At no time did he lift the phone or send me an email and ask me what my sources were. That's what an academic would normally do. So there's clear bad faith there. Bad faith also in Abraham's failure to let me know he was going to do this before before he published it so that I would have the chance to publish a contemporaneous and detailed refutation. No, he wanted to get a clear run at it so that he could get all the left-wing websites to tear down my reputation and the newspaper blogs over here saying I am the fallen idol of the climate skeptics, this kind of thing. There was also malice. I mean,
do those hoaxes. They always say,
yeah.
I mean, they've said that the ice cap's completely melted. I mean, they...
The thing, and what he says is, this man is guilty of sleight of hand, fabrication, shady...
Well, stay there. Back in 1 minute, Lord Monckton.
Yeah,
stay back. Stay there until we come back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.